You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Okay, well, I guess we're just going here.
They never tell you how to start these things.
No. You good? You got everything you need?
Yeah, I'm good. I got my coffee here, which is, I guess, about it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, hi, everyone.
Hey.
Hey, everybody out there. I am Alan Michael Allen, and I'm here with Remy Curtis for today's Verizon Actors on Actors.
You know, they always have that little theme music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they'll put it in there.
I had to say, when I found out, when they sent me the email that it was going to be, I was going to be interviewing you. I mean, you've always been, I can't believe we haven't worked together because we operate in a lot of the same spaces.
Alan Michael, I cannot tell you what a dream it was to see that we were on the same call sheet.
To be honest, I'm being a little bit untrue. I guess I got an original call sheet and it was with another actor, and I don't want to say who. And I said, absolutely not.
Really?
Yes.
So you turned it down maybe more than once until they cast me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you're, I don't know, at a key party or something like that, and you pull a set of keys and you go like, no, not that one.
Right.
You know, and you go until you go.
Can you say no at a key party like that? I thought you sort of, that was the whole deal with the
bowl. It is certainly uncouth. It definitely, but it's one of the things, I mean, look, I don't like to talk too much about celebrity, but it's one of the positives of celebrity.
Right.
So if you go to a wife swap, husband swap, partner swap, key party, you know, you can say no to a couple.
Yeah, you get one life.
People
are
not
here to live it for everyone else.
And that's what I like about you. That's how you kind of live, is you're kind of a, you do in a...
Well, I do whatever I want.
You do whatever you want.
I mean, I think that that's what we should all be doing. Within reason, we live in a society, of course, but I think it's really important to be self-motivated. Do what you want to do.
Yes.
That way you're always responsible.
And, you know, a lot of people doing whatever they want would mean doing less. But for you, it's doing more. I mean, you did all your own stunts in Fast Fiat, right?
Yeah, Fast Fiat. That was thanks for bringing that up. A lot of people don't talk about that movie.
Well, that's the thing. It's one of my favorites. I'm sure when people talk to you, they talk about the bigger ones, the Marvel stuff and whatever. Yeah. But I loved Fast Fiat.
Fiat was so fun. It was just what an experience it was to go shoot in Prague.
Oh my God!
You
yes,
know what I mean?
I love Prague.
Oh. You know, it's a great place to visit. I don't think I'd want to live there, but it's a great place to visit.
That's
it was a wonderful experience. You know, Fast Fiat was cool. Obviously reminiscent of those other sort of car racing type movies, but a little bit more interesting.
And a lot of people said, you know, we recently had Ford versus Ferrari. Mm-hmm. And you know, do we want a whole big budget movie that is also a commercial for Fiat?
Right.
And you know, it was,
I had no problem doing it.
Absolutely. Everything's a commercial. You know, when you learn how this industry works, everything is to make money for a bigger corporation. And the sooner you let go of that, the sooner you can be an artist.
Right. You watch Tremors, but you see the Ford truck pull up. Why do they park the emblem right into the camera? That's a commercial.
That's a commercial.
We're
right
admitting
there.
It.
And so it's like, let's take the tablecloth off the table and see that we're eating on old wood.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Alan Michael. I mean, take the tablecloth off the table and see that we're eating on old wood.
See,
it's just honesty. And that's what I really appreciate about your work, your process.
Mm.
Rife with honesty, not a false beat.
Well, here's something I learned from an acting coach once, and I think about it all the time. You're not going for truth. You're going for honesty.
Interesting.
Because
there are many truths.
There are many truths.
So all you can do is be honest about your own truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's what, you know, I bring that into my relationships, to my dating. I'm seeing my dog is over here eating an asparagus plant. I wonder if that's okay.
What do you think that's going to make her pee smell like? That's asparagus pee written all over it. Outdoor, at least.
This dog, she'll piss anywhere, and it does already smell. So I am a little concerned, but, you know, she lives like you. Does what she wants. And you live like a dog, I guess.
Absolutely. I've always said, look to the dog.
Mm.
It's our best example. They're not worried. They're not anxious. They're just responding.
And what I love about
that. You're not cutting me off.
No, okay, good. Yeah, good. Because I want to hear the thought, you know, but I have a thought there. Mm-hmm. You know, De Niro, Robert, Bobby.
Bob.
Bo. He, you know, in his performance in that film that he did.
What was it? Godmama. Just kidding. We know that. Godfather.
We know it's Godfather.
Godfather.
It's not Godfather. What's the movie? The comedian movie that he's in.
The comedian.
You know, he based that character off of how a lobster moves. And, you know, you talking about the dog thing. I notice all of your characters have different dog in them. Now that you mention it. Because that's a bulldog in Fast Fiat. That's what you're doing there.
Oh, yeah. He's tough. He wears a leather jacket. He's sort of got a tooth out. He's got a snarl, you know. It took that kind of aggressiveness. And not the kind of aggressiveness that you view in a human. You know what I mean? It's not so verbal.
And when you're working with a director on something like that, and they're mm-hmm. saying it's too bulldog, mm-hmm. are you getting that ever? I'm not commenting on your performance, but I guess I'm saying some of the reviews.
There's some pushback. That movie was, of course, directed by Fred Durst, and he didn't get it at first, you mm-hmm. know. But as soon as I started growling on the turns, you know, and sort of barking orders, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's plenty of metaphor to play with.
Yes.
And he got it. He got it after a while. But there's some stuff on the cutting room floor that I will say that was risk-taking for risk-taking's sake. That
yes.
wasn't good for the movie, but I had to sort of go over the line to find where
sorry,
it was.
Excuse me. Yeah, go ahead.
No, yeah, you are interrupting me that time.
Okay, no, excuse me. Yeah, you finish your sentence. Okay. Excuse me.
Okay. Anyway, what do you think about our new film,
uh-huh.
The Gift of Magic? Because that's what we're here to talk about, folks.
Right. It's, you know, we're both up against each other for Best Supporting Actor.
Mm-hmm. Not for the Oscars, but...
No. But we're, you know, for
certain...
There's awards. Award season is near, and yeah, we're being discussed for certain.
Surely, we're up against each other for Best Supporting.
And it was an interesting thing because for those people who haven't seen the movie, the whole idea is.
I think you're a little hot. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I've been talking a little hot here, so I'm just gonna turn it down. Sorry about that.
Stop your flow. I know you were really flowing there.
No, that's great. I appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. So The Gift of Magic, we're both in it. We're both running against each other for Best Supporting.
And the whole idea here is the movie starts as a young man who discovers magic, and then he transforms himself. And so we both play the same man.
Yeah, well, or do we?
Yeah, I don't want to spoil that.
Yeah, of course. We've all seen...
The Prestige?
The Prestige, you know, which of course this movie's not based on, but we borrowed...
All great artists borrow.
We borrowed from a lot of movies for this great film. We borrowed from Jaws.
We borrowed, yes.
The Prestige, Tree of Life.
We took some of the stuff we didn't love from Jaws and threw it out and then added new stuff. Like in Jaws, you don't see the damn shark till the end.
Yes.
You see the shark right at the beginning of Gift of the Magic, and it's there almost every other
scene.
You
are not wondering if this is a shark movie. It is.
It's a big shark movie.
It is. The Gift of Magic is surely about... Because we discussed this on set a lot. We know what the themes are. What is this movie actually about? And I really think it's about man embracing the powers that we have, yes. magical powers,
yes.
to keep a shark away from the boat.
And this man, this boy who learns magic and starts using it for evil at a certain point.
You're a little low now. I'm sorry. You might want to go just a touch higher.
Let me go
higher.
Up again. Yeah. Let me go up. It's just so...
It's finicky.
It's finicky.
What kind of equipment they give us here? Self-running?
Well,
Come on.
They give us is the new Verizon Zoom recording microphone, which we are supposed to talk about in a positive light.
That's right. It's gorgeous.
For all you independent podcast producers, independent television producers, even on your film sets,
yeah.
I know we use the Verizon Zoom microphone.
This is how we recorded all the audio from the film right into a handheld microphone.
It is. And so when you're in the theater and we've been getting a lot of, you know, I'll search on Twitter. I'll search on Twitter the name of the movie or my name.
Don't do it to yourself. Don't read the reviews.
I know, but you see people going, we had to ask the theater to turn it up and then turn it down. I didn't know they could do that. You know.
Well, I did think there was going to be more of a mix. It seemed like it was pretty first draft audio.
I don't want to give the... Because the below the line people work so hard.
Oh, wouldn't have been possible without the Below the Line.
There's no film without them.
Of course, they are, just for clarity's sake, they are below the line. We have to recognize what it is.
Yeah, it's...
There's a line where you get paid extra for the movie.
Let's just say you're not going to see the sound designer.
No, but it's important that we had one.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I guess we did on this movie. It's hard to tell, obviously, because... Right. Again, a lot. Sometimes I'll go and I'll put on a hoodie and I'll watch the movie in theaters just to see people's reactions.
You are bad.
I know.
You are
I know,
so but it's bad.
Just, you know, you work so hard on something and you don't get to see people loving it, and so I like to do that. And this one, there, I will say, there was a lot of leaning forward with people's hand cupped around their ear.
Yeah, I saw some of that.
And then a lot of like immediately putting napkins in your ear, you
know? Right? Because it was so loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that, too. I, of course, went, and I was the row behind you, actually. I don't know that I probably should have disclosed to you, because we can let each other in on it, but I was wearing a big fat suit with a Groucho Marx mask, and I saw a little bit of the lean. Yeah, that was me. That was me, and I was in character. I was farting. I was sort of burping. But I think it added to the authenticity of just another random audience member.
That guy really ruined the movie for everyone. So that's interesting.
Yeah, that guy did, but not me.
Right. That was a really interesting character you played. And I noticed for a while you were cutting holes in the bottoms of popcorn.
Oh, yeah. Not just mine. Not just mine. I was going up to the popcorn service area and cutting a hole for every man's convenience.
That
or
is,
woman or whoever.
Yeah. That you, and that's a modern Marx brother, is what you are, you know, or an Andy Kaufman almost.
Oh, you know? I love the way you say that name.
You know, it's just as a big fan of his, you know, I grew up watching Kaufman, and you know, they would. I was obviously a little young for it, but you know, they would show Andy Kaufman stuff on Comedy Central and the documentary.
Here's a question I have for you, because obviously you are a patron of the arts. You are a study, a good study of the arts.
Of course, the Alan Michael Allen scholarship for young thespians.
That's for a community college, right? That's for a community college that's hoping to build an acting program.
That's absolutely right. And it's a I do have to give a little bit of an addendum to that. A non-accredited community college, but with programs like this, we're hoping to get
accreditation. It's a school in a community. It's not quite a college yet, but eventually.
You know University of Phoenix, the online thing? This is University of Phoenix with an F.
F-E-N-I-X.
Yeah, yeah. So,
like Felix, but Phoenix.
Right. We're just trying to get young thespians from all walks of life. Because, you know.
You've got to spread the love.
You've got your Yales. You've got your Harvards. But what about the people in the community?
Right. Because we all know that's what you lose at those big schools. There's not a community there.
No.
It's too big for community.
No. When I was there, I felt very at sea, you know.
Isn't that just so interesting? I don't know if you've ever been to New York. I go there all the time.
Do you? I chose. Yes.
Thank you. By my fashion?
Yeah, absolutely. You're very fashionable.
So I'm in New York what seems like at least twice a year, at least. Mm-hmm. And I walk around there and I think, I'm around so many people, yet I feel more alone. I'm around so many people, but I feel more anonymous.
Isn't that
so many people are seeing me, and yet I feel, I'm sorry, I must have interrupted you.
I think you're still going there. I don't know. I apologize.
Yet I'm not even there to them.
Yeah.
But I'm so there because I'm seeing all of them.
Wow.
It's really a fascinating treatise on individual experience.
It's a wild observation because I know you go, you said you go about twice a year. I know you're there on New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're there on Thanksgiving usually for the Thursday of Thanksgiving.
Yes. I fly in, I eat a turkey, and I fly out. A lot of people won't tell you this. There's nothing like a turkey in the city.
A New York Thanksgiving.
A city turkey. There's nothing like it.
And I'm sorry I didn't do the research on this one. Did you grow up in a big city, or are you from... Because I get small town energy from you.
I am from a small town.
Yeah.
I am from a small town. Just from outside Sacramento.
Okay.
Not a ton of art there.
No,
I definitely had to leave to find myself.
A bit of a desert in more ways than one.
A bit of an artistic desert with a cold winter.
Didn't you love Lady Bird, though?
Oh, I'll tell you what, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. But I loved the poster.
Mm.
I thought the poster was fascinating.
Right. Yep. And you can judge a book by its cover in a lot of ways with something like that.
Absolutely. That's the point of the cover.
Because I follow your Letterboxd where you review the movies you've seen. And now that I'm thinking about it,
a lot of
your reviews...
Oh. I'm embarrassed. That's really just for me.
Oh, really? Because it's at the top of your newsletter that I get. Also,
you saw that too. I guess I spam. I guess I spam.
It's not spam if you love it. Oh. And I do, and I'm expecting it, and I look forward to it.
That is so kind, Alan Michael.
Yes. Well, it's true. I speak truth. But I want to talk a little bit about one thing that's hard for artists like us is family. You know, and I know that you are on your, I shouldn't even say first marriage. You are married.
I am on my first marriage. That's fine.
It is your first marriage, but yes. I don't want to imply that there are multiples ahead of you.
Well, you know, that would make sense from the way that set was. You know, we had a lot of on-set fights with me and my wife, who was not invited to set.
Right.
But
she showed up.
She showed up, and we're actually doing great now.
Great.
We're doing great, but you're right. Family is hard for artists. It's everyone else's fault.
Mm.
And they just don't get us sometimes.
You have to be with someone who understands the world,
yes.
Which is why I exclusively date beautiful actresses, is because they know the world that you're in, you know, and what you're dealing
That's
with.
That's really interesting. That's actually really smart.
You know,
that's actually, man, that is actually smart.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Well, thank you. It's just at a certain point, I don't mean to be rude, but I was dating a lawyer for a while.
Yeah,
and
we've all been there.
Yeah, absolutely. And she was doing, you know, she just. I was looking at the bills, and I was like...
She's working probably late into the night.
Yeah, very late.
Doing her numbers or taxes or whatever.
Whatever it is. And I'm like, who's paying for all this stuff? Because she's not getting paid a ton. You know, she's working on, like, the environmental defense and stuff like that. And it's like...
Right.
It's tough because you share a bank account, and you start to not... I'm not saying it's anyone's fault, but you start to not trust them. And you go, are you just with me for my money?
Right.
And my fame and my success.
Now, when you're dating, at what point do you start the shared bank account?
You know, first date, you both pay for the meal. So, in a way...
Right. You double pay.
You double.
You both paid for the meal to prove that you could.
And you love it when waiters tell these stories that's like, Alan Michael Allen came into my restaurant and he paid me 100% tip.
I mean, there's actually no better performance than me at the end of a meal.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
That's an Oscar worthy performance right there.
Absolutely. I expect an applause, I expect a standing O, and I really hope they take a story home with them.
And the way. Even your performance when you're thanking the waiter after you order, or when you're putting in your order, and it is so nice and
can
polite.
You tell? You can tell I revere
another
them, right?
actor can tell that of it's course. A performance, but you look like a reverent man to the world.
As actors, I'm sure it's safe to say most of us has worked in food service.
Yes,
I remember it.
Oh yeah, I had a survival job.
This is the front lines. This is the future actors of America.
It really is. And so you talk to them, and I do the same with PAs. You know, you don't know that a lot of people don't know this. A PA wants to be a director, an actor, a writer.
Yeah.
So I'll give them advice nonstop when we're together in the cart or walking to set together.
Right. I will talk to an intern.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because you interned for your dad's company, which was Paramount.
Yeah. I interned as the CEO for like 1 year.
That must have been tough.
Well, it was tough for the shareholders. We lost a lot of money. You know, you want the line to go up and to the right. But for us, it went down and to the left, which was confusing because it was almost like time went backwards. That's how poorly I did. So then we found out that I was better as an actor.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's just, you have to learn that side of the business, and maybe you'll be back and you'll have learned your lessons.
That's right.
I, for one, again, I don't, I need to get my nose out of you. I'm not blowing sunshine up your skirt. But
I wish you would.
I will say, Diarrhea Island, I loved. I would love that you greenlit that.
Me too.
And
not only did I greenlit it, I demanded it. I demanded that it get made. I demanded that we write it. I demanded that Carrot Top come back.
Yes, and he was, I mean, He was stunning in it. He did so many push-ups. Stunning. And what about Dinner with Roseanne? I thought that was a fantastic show. I loved watching Roseanne just be open and talking with some of our favorite people.
Well, that's what we want. Roseanne being open now. That was the pitch. Is, hey, wait, why haven't we heard from Roseanne? Oh, it's because we keep hearing from her and hating it. Oh, well, let's give her some airspace, you know?
And everybody, as artists, don't you think everyone should have a voice? We don't play idealized people. We play real people.
Flawed folks. Yes. And nobody wants to admit it, but we all have flaws. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that everybody deserves not only a second, not only a third, not only a fourth, but a fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth chance. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Trust. Oh, yeah. It's about trust. If you can't trust me, you got your own stuff to look into, pal.
I was just discussing this over ribs with Armie Hammer, and it was like, you have to, the world, people deserve forgiveness, and they deserve...
Were they finger-licking good? I'm sorry.
You can't mention ribs around this guy. That's something I remember hearing about you.
Ribs and Armie Hammer, especially. First of all, what kind were they?
Okay,
and
yeah.
B, were they finger-licking good?
A wide open joke. They were pork ribs. Come on. I'm not eating human with Hammer.
Good.
But we were talking about... And they were finger-licking good, by the way. It was a... I don't know. Are you a Memphis style? Do you like a Kansas City style?
I've never been.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think that, me neither, but I love an authentic Memphis rib.
I know what's authentic.
A lot of vinegar.
Actors know. Oh, I put on extra vinegar when it comes to the table. I'll pull out my bottle of vinegar and just sort of hit it with some balsamic.
Yeah, I do. I carry a red wine vinegar all the time because, no offense to the chef, but they just don't do enough on there.
Every meal I've ever had has been under vinegar. Oh, I swear.
Thank you. I am so happy to connect with somebody on that. They don't leave why do we have salt and pepper on the table, but you have to ask for the vinegar?
I agree. Vinegar should be as common as salt and pepper.
Absolutely. And I'm talking to the Starbucks.
Why do we have to ask for the vinegar?
And so they know me at some restaurants now. I walk in and they go, oh, get the vinegar. And it's like, I feel like a regular, you know, which right. I love.
Right. I love when I walk into a restaurant and two people go on break immediately. It's clear they see me enter and they race to the POS system to clock out.
Do you get this? I've been trying to figure this out. I go to a lot of restaurants. I thought it was just the same place I was going to. 10 minutes into my meal, my server will go on a break. It'll be like, do I come at a weird time? Do I come in the break?
And you've been
period?
Testing it, right? You'll go at all times.
I'll go at all times. I'll go first thing in the morning. I'll be there as they open, and they're like, oh, I got to check out on my break. And there's somebody standing like feet away behind them, like, this is Lyle, you know.
Your shift just started.
Yeah.
Right?
It's.
Sometimes I like it. I get to be thankful for two servers because I love
which is nice.
Servers.
Now, what do you do on that? Do you tip them both?
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. I tip the break guy by hand, and then I tip the original server by foot.
And that is a performance to watch. I have seen YouTube, or I guess TikTok, or I don't know what they are, but videos of you tipping. Mm-hmm. And it is because you really make a meal out of it.
I love to perform, and it's hard for me to turn it down.
And when you're around like loved ones and not in public, are you on still? Or are you? Because that's the thing is some people I know like to shut down because they're so on.
No, I'm always on. My living room has a red curtain on one of the walls, and that's sort of my performance space.
You never know when the show
is going to
happen.
We have some theater seats that are set up, folding really? Theater seats. We don't have a couch.
You'll do a play performance or a one-man show or whatever.
Sock puppets.
So it's not like
performing
where you're doing bits or constantly telling jokes. You'll do a sock puppet show, you said.
Yeah, I did Sock Puppet Macbeth 1 month ago for
the Scottish play.
Nightly.
I guess we're not in a theater, but I am a bit of a... purist about not saying the name of the play just for bad luck. You know?
Excuse me. How do you,
you leave the room, turn around three times and spit?
Here's my question. How do you talk about it if you can't say it?
I know. It's like Voldemort.
Oh, my God. Don't say it.
We both auditioned for Harry Potter, didn't we?
Yes. I got denied very hardly. Usually they say nothing if you don't get the role.
Mm-hmm.
But I got sent a manila envelope with a red stamp on it that said never again.
Really?
Because I guess they knew about the sequels from
the beginning. Yes, they knew the sequels were coming. They're like, we don't want to have to watch this guy's audition again. And look at you now. The star of Fiat Presents Fast Fiat, directed by Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit. And it's like,
I'll tell you what, the Lord works in mysterious ways, but man, am I glad I'm at where I'm at instead of where I could have been.
That's right.
Because I could have been Severus Snape.
Yes.
Who wants that on their conscience?
And playing a villain like that, I mean, it will kill you.
He's going to be rolling over in hell, knowing that he was out the only ever Snape.
He will be.
That's going to hurt him
bad. Well, it's, you know, Ledger, Snape. These guys play villains and they go too deep. And I remember saying that to
Tim Allen.
Allen, yeah. I was doing I was doing the Giving Tree with Tim Allen.
He was the villain.
And he, well, the tree, because the tree is a bit villainous in the Giving Tree. Or the boy. I don't know. They
well, in
each
the book,
have,
it's inanimate, but of course, for the movie, you've got to bring things to life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so the tree has its own journey and arc, and the boy does as well.
Fascinating.
And the tree keeps giving, the boy keeps taking. And I remember saying to Tim, hey, man, I'm believing this tree performance. I feel like I'm with you. It's just like how I felt I was with Buzz Lightyear. But you are going to kill yourself if you go too deep into this tree.
I mean, Tim Allen, to me, that's a consummate professional. He just cares so much about the craft, and he will do anything to get the take.
I mean,
have you ever seen him grunt for 3 hours because he can't quite get the grunt right?
I've heard stories about that. I've heard stories about like 15, 16-hour days on Home Improvement.
I used to sneak on to Home Improvement.
Really?
When I was just a young kid in Hollywood with nothing to do.
Right, because you were in the Jonathan Taylor Thomas kind of friend group. You all hung around.
I was just outside the circle.
Just outside. I misremembered that. Yeah.
I was trying to get into his friend group.
Because it was JTT. It was Zachary Hansen. It was Al Borland.
Of course. And because Al Borland, sort of like Kramer, is based on a real guy. Of course.
Yeah, I'm obviously not talking about Richard Karn. I'm talking about Al Borland.
Al Borland, who's like real Kramer.
He's like real Kramer.
And he, I'll tell you what, that guy's got more stories about wearing flannel than you could ever dream of.
I remember spending 5 minutes with him. He showed me pictures of his mom, who they don't even do it justice. They say some stuff about his mom on the show.
Hilarious.
And she's even weirder looking in photos in real life, the real Al Borland's real mom. And they take her to task.
I don't even know if people know this, that Al Borland is real.
I know.
I mean, I'm sorry. Sometimes I forget that we are so on the other side of the curtain.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, yes, Al Borland is real, everybody.
Yeah, he's real, and he is a huge real mom, and she's uglier than they say on Home Improvement every episode.
But, yeah, those are great times, and I guess I just got to go back to... I was sneaking into Home Improvement to watch the master at work.
And he would grunt for 3 hours because he couldn't get the grunt right.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sounded like Santa, he would say.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had just done the Santa Claus.
Oh, that's
so
tough.
He was getting his Santa ho-hos mixed up with his Binford grunts.
He was still in Santa character.
It's a shame to see, you know, a real actor get so lost in the role that they can't come out of it.
It's why
like you're saying with Heath and whoever else.
I'll never get too deep into character because I just don't want that to happen, you know?
Yeah. I don't trust that I know myself well enough to come back home.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-mm.
The whole reason I'm good at acting is because I love to jump in other people's skin.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I once tried a deep dive. I tried some shadow work and to really find some dark
sides
of
myself. Day?
What's that?
Was it a hot day?
No, I mean like the shadow of your own personality, your own psyche.
Yeah, it's always taller than your body. So you're like, what's going on here?
I think we're misunderstanding each other. I'm not talking about your literal shadow.
Right. No, yeah. Metaphorically.
So not like light hitting you and creating a shadow.
I see.
But you have a shadow self.
We're on the same page.
Okay, great. And so I tried that. I tried to do a deep dive on that once and really find my darkness. And I hated what I saw. It disgusted me. It led to my first divorce.
The human condition, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, you are just such a special guy.
Thank you.
And I feel so privileged to have shared the deck of that boat with you, to share these mics with you right now. And just to be in your general presence.
Thank you. Wow.
You know, sometimes we can identify our own selves based on those we share time with.
That's nice to say.
And I'll tell you what, I love who I'm looking at.
All right, we got to do more of this type of thing. Why does this only happen on mic? Why can't we do this in a one-on-one,
you know,
get a coffee or something like that?
Well, maybe we got to have our assistants talk, you know? Maybe we got to have them set up a coffee for us.
We should have them set up a coffee, and I'd love to see the way you tip in person, and, you know, we can figure out this break system thing. And, what are you working on now, by the way? What can people look out for?
Well, I'm between projects, between agents.
What a fascinating time that always is, because it means you take that step back before you take a leap forward, don't you?
Well, it is a pregnant pause, that's for sure.
Congratulations.
Not with baby.
Oh.
Just with potential. You know, when you're doing something, there's lots of activity, but not much potential, because you know where you're at.
We understand each other.
But right now, let me just finish explaining it. Right now, I have all potential and no being.
Yeah.
So I'm shaking in my little tivas, if you know what I mean.
I do. I do. Yeah. I have something for you. I think we should talk. Because there's something I've been working on. I like performing,
but
I
still want to
write and direct. No, I mean an acting role.
Okay. Okay, great. Beautiful. Beautiful. I thought it was something to make me feel better.
Oh, no. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great if you could just take a pill and feel better? But some acting work. I mean, the one thing you can take and feel better is the new Verizon 2-for-1 plan I'm seeing here.
That's right. You can buy one Zoom recorder and get the second one for free from Verizon.
That's right. At least one of them is guaranteed to work, it says here.
Wow. And what a corporation Verizon is. I know we haven't been talking about it as much as we promised.
Yes.
But they are a fantastic group of people.
Oh, I'm on their 5G network. That's right, is the people are great. Not just because we think of data, we think of Wi-Fi, all that stuff. But there's people behind that working there.
Yeah. The technology is actually the people.
You are always reminding me about the people. Sometimes I'll go elsewhere, but you're really connected to that type of stuff.
We get so lost. Mm-hmm. We get so lost these days. It's nice to come back home.
Well, yeah, I'm partnering with John Deere to tell a little lawnmower story, and I think you would be great for one of the parts. So
I'm interested.
Let's
absolutely
talk. Yeah, let's talk.
Well, folks, thank you so much for listening to the Q&A talk back of The Gift of Magic.
Yes, I wish we had talked more about the project, but we just got so lost.
Other.
But that's right. You want the conversation to go where it wants.
That's right. My name, of course, is Remy Curtis. I'm sitting here with Alan, Michael, Alan.
Remy, it's been a pleasure. Everybody, please, really please go see Gift of Magic.
Please.
You'll be very shocked by what happens to the shark at the end. No spoilers.
No spoilers, but the shark's in it the whole time, beginning to end. No spoilers. No spoilers.
And there's an after credit sequence, but let's just say the shark's hungry.
Let's just say the shark bites my head off in the after sequence. No spoilers. All right, folks, we'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Have a great night.